Hello, my name is Robert Long. I'm an engineer on the Matrix VoIP team, and today I'm going to give you an overview of our work on native group VoIP in our Metaverse on Matrix project. In Matrix, we use WebRTC for VoIP across all our clients. WebRTC is a peer-to-peer protocol which requires signaling messages to be shared with peers in order to establish voice and video streams. Today in Matrix, you can make one-to-one WebRTC calls using signaling over Matrix. In this diagram, you can see Alice calling Bob by first sending an invite and sending their ICE candidates. Bob then answers and then sends their ICE candidates. Alice selects an answer on their current device, and the WebRTC connection is now established. When Alice is done, they can hang up the call. Currently, Matrix only handles one-to-one calls natively. For group calls with more than one participant, we embed Jitsi, another open-source video conferencing project, into a widget in the room. Here, you can see the whole Jitsi infrastructure set up alongside our Matrix home servers and the Matrix user verification service, and in addition to Prosody to manage the integration with Matrix. This works, but there are some problems for group calls managed this way. First and foremost, it's no longer decentralized. A room is associated with a single Jitsi provider, and it's a single point of control and failure for everyone on the call. Second, is that there are a lot of moving parts. You're effectively setting up an entire separate signaling stack using XMPP instead of Matrix, so there's a lot of duplicate work being done. It doesn't use Matrix's access control, so we had to hack together permissions between Prosody and Matrix with some Lua scripting. It doesn't interoperate with Matrix one-to-one calls, so you can't add people to a one-to-one call without stopping the call and spinning up another Jitsi widget, which isn't a great user experience. And finally, it doesn't use Matrix's end-to-end encryption or identity system, so we're not getting all the security benefits that we could have if it were native. So, what would our one-to-one signaling look like if we made it work for groups? Our goal is to provide a flexible open signaling layer to let Matrix clients and conferencing servers, also known as foci, ran by different people, form a truly decentralized call fabric without forcing a given architecture. What this means is that clients can operate via peer-to-peer WebRTC connections using signaling like what we have today, but when we want to scale to larger conferences, they can pick a foci, such as selective forwarding units, or SFUs, which forward media streams, or multi-point conferencing units, or MCUs, that mix media streams. These can be foci defined by the home server they're using, or the ones advertised by others in the room. These foci servers can just be foci that are interacting with other users in a Matrix room as normal Matrix client. And eventually, we'd like these foci to be able to talk to one another as decentralized cascaded SFUs and MCUs. If you're interested in more details on how this all works, please check out Matrix Spec Chain's proposal, MSC 3401. In this diagram, you can see how this is all laid out. We've got the clients represented as the green dots communicating with their Matrix home server for all the signaling messages and then establishing WebRTC connections to the foci in yellow. These foci can then communicate with one another to forward media streams, reducing the overall bandwidth needed by the clients and making this media infrastructure completely decentralized. You could also remove the foci entirely and just have clients communicating full mesh with one another. For the group call, signaling in a three-party full mesh call, the signaling looks like this. Alice signals the creation of a new call by adding it to the room state, and then adds herself as a member of that call in the room state. Bob joins the call by adding his member state to the room. Alice sees that Bob has joined the call, and this is where the existing one-to-one signaling logic comes in. It's exactly the same. Alice calls Bob, Bob answers, and now they're connected. Now Charlie joins. Alice kicks off the call of Charlie, and then Bob does the same, and everyone is connected. So in summary, we've got three new mechanisms for group calls. The m.call state, which announces that there is a call, if it's a voice or video, whether it should ring, whether your client should show a prompt to join or not, which could be used in voice or video rooms, or just a conferencing app like Jitsi. It could have a human-readable label for the call and an optional foci defined for the call. Then we have the m.call member events, which tracks whether or not you're in the call, what foci you're using, if any, and what streams the other users can subscribe to. One large change to the 1-1 signaling is that now clients are sending their Web-RTC signaling events as two-device messages, which are not persisted in the room history. This gives us better privacy. You're not saving your IP address into the room, and these are ephemeral messages, so we can keep the room's history smaller for performance. Currently, we only have full mesh peer-to-peer signaling implemented. We're looking at INSFU, which is written in Go, and MediaSoup, which has JavaScript and Rust bindings. We're not looking at mixing media in an MCU yet, but we could later down the line. These foci are optional, and the participants in a call decide which foci they want to use or not. The whole thing can be ran in full mesh or scale up to the entire decentralized network of cascading SFUs. When you use a foci in a call, you're calling the foci instead of one-to-one calls to other users. You take a look at the m.call.member state of the other users in the call, pick which streams you want to receive, and then subscribe to them by sending messages to the foci over a WebRTC data channel, which you set up in the initial call to the foci. Foci act as matrix application services, which allows them to see other foci and call each other to subscribe to each other's streams. And in order to maintain end-to-end encryption when using a foci, your client will use an encoded transform, which is enabled by insertable streams in SRAM. Today, we have a new browser-based video conferencing project, which should be launching very soon, that uses this new group VoIP specification. I'm really excited for you all to try it, so keep your eyes out for that. The next thing I'd like to share is our Metaverse on Matrix project. It's called Third Room. This started as my side project. When I started, I asked myself, how can we build decentralized yet interconnected virtual worlds on top of Matrix? And I have a history building virtual world platforms at Altspace VR and then Mozilla Hubs, and I really wanted something that was decentralized but still let you seamlessly traverse all these different 3D worlds. So that's where Third Room comes in. It's a browser-based Matrix client for traversing virtual worlds as Matrix rooms. It's built with 3JS and a new, insanely fast Entity Component library called BitECS. The name Third Room comes from the concept of the third place, the first being your home and the people you live with, the second being your workplace, and the third place being your community space, where you can feel comfortable, creative, build relationships, learn new things, and have some fun. Here are some design concepts for what this new project might look like. You can see some similarities with Element, but also reimagined for navigating rooms as 3D spaces. Voice communication is also built into the core UI, so you can seamlessly hop around with your group. You'll be able to bring in your own avatar models as well as pick the right one for the room you're about to enter. Here we have some avatars from Ready Player Me. Inside the room, you'll be able to move around and interact with the environment around you. You can talk to each other with spatial audio or text chat. Switching between rooms is fast and seamless. Just pop open the overlay and navigate to another Matrix space or room. There are a few goals that we have for this project. First is to provide public and private virtual spaces for new and existing communities. We want to enable new modes of communication within the Matrix ecosystem on mobile, PC, and VR devices. We want to empower creators and developers with content creation tools and APIs to build their own spaces for meetings, events, games, education, and more. Each room is yours to customize. We want to ensure that we build with a focus on decentralization and privacy. No one company or organization will own the network, and you will be in control of your data. And finally, we want to work with the Matrix community and other organizations on standards for the open metaverse. Our next steps for this project are to finish out and build on the work we've done for Group VoIP and extend it to support WebRTC data channels. We also want to utilize our work on cascading SFUs to enable scalable, decentralized metaverse infrastructure. We will work with the Open Metaverse Interoperability Group on standards for 3D content and sandbox scripting for environments, avatars, and more. Disclaimer, I'm one of the co-chairs of this organization, and we're quickly growing out our member base to include a wide variety of different metaverse platforms, all coming together to work on standards.
Oh,
Whoa.
actually, we're already live. I think I'm going to start with the most controversial question about why are you walking on the metaverse? Because what does this have to do with Matrix in the first place, Robert?
Well, a lot of things. I mean, hold on, let me mute my other tab. There we go. Cool. I think it has a lot to do with what we're doing at Matrix because if you think about it, we're already working on an interoperable chat, voice, video platform. Now there's a lot of hype around where we're going to experience interoperable 3D worlds, and I think Matrix has a really important place to play in this. So I think it's really crucial that there is a open interoperable standard as an option in this space.
All right. So, in the same way, we have something completely interoperable for instant messaging. The metaverse is probably something that is not just the hype of the day, but probably something that is going to be the world of tomorrow if we allow
Absolutely.
ourselves to dream a little. So, it makes sense to have something open. I think you are involved in a few groups about the open metaverse. Do you want to expand a little on that?
Yeah, so in the past, I've been a part of the Chronos 3D Formats Working Group, which came up with the GLTF standard, which is like a 3D file format that's being used for all sorts of different platforms out there. It's getting really wide support, and we plan on using that as well. And then there's also the Open Metaverse Interoperability Group, kind of a mouthful, but it's the OMI group. And we're focused on bridging virtual worlds. So it's coming up with the standards that are more specific to the metaverse, figuring out how to connect all these different isolated platforms and come up with standards that really help us do that.
All right, so you're not just trying to make your own metaverse in your corner, even if it's open. Say it's the metaverse with several identities, really interoperable, because I have to say that word. So it's not just trying to reinvent the wheel, just to put the Matrix branding on that.
Absolutely not. I mean, I think that we see ourselves as one piece of the overall metaverse, and that there are platforms out there trying to define themselves as the metaverse, and that's exactly what I think we're trying to take a stand against. We want to see a matrix interoperate with other platforms in this overall metaverse world.
All right. In the first part of your talk, you've been talking about native VoIP group calls in Matrix. Is this related in any way to the metaverse?
Absolutely. It's the foundation for everything. So the video part, maybe not so much at the start, but voice, absolutely. You need to be able to talk with the people around you. But the more crucial part of this is we're doing WebRTC signaling. So WebRTC is this peer-to-peer protocol for network communications, and there's a data channel part of that. So we can use the data channel to send our traditional game networking to other people out there. And in the same way that we can have selective forwarding units joining a room to act as like a media processing server, you can have a bot join the room to act as a traditional game server where it can do more trusted actions like calculating physics for a online strategy or first-person shooter game where you don't want people to cheat.
Right, so what you are trying to tell me is that the Matrix.org Foundation is not jumping on the new hype, but it's a coherent roadmap with VoIP being the foundational work in addition to what already exists in Matrix to be part of the metaverse.
Absolutely. I mean, we're going to benefit from the voice and video work a lot. It's going to be another like more strenuous test case to see like how it works for larger worlds with like lots of participants subscribing and unsubscribing to people around you as you move about a 3D world. It's going to be a really interesting thing to look on. It's also our like opportunity to build out a more focused product for a different audience. And I think that this is going to be a really interesting opportunity to reach people that maybe aren't being reached with Element so far.
Yeah, This is going to be something large scale, and right now on the product, on the Void product, so it's completely full mesh. So that means there are a few limitations. Do you know how many people we can have on the same call at the moment?
Yeah, so in our product that we're working on, we've capped it at 12 people. You need a decent internet connection to hit that right now. But when we add selective forwarding units, that can scale up quite a bit. So it's really just dependent on how many people you want to have actively sharing their video feeds or subscribing to audio feeds, things like that. The selective forwarding unit will drastically reduce the outbound bandwidth. You'll still be downloading, if you want to subscribe to 8 feeds, you'll still be downloading 8 feeds. But we can also hide away people who aren't active in the call, and we can scale to much, much larger audiences.
All right. And there are two related questions. So we are talking about group calls, and you have shown a screenshot. Is it an actual product that is completely different from Element right now, or is it something that is going to be integrated in Element eventually, or both?
I don't have answers for that right now. We're just kicking off this new team. It's been like a side project, like I said in there. But really, last week was our real first kickoff week for this new team. And I invite anyone who wants to get involved. We're going to be doing a kickoff meeting next week on Tuesday, very early in the morning Pacific. I'll have details there. But you can join the thirdroom-dev-matrix.org room, and I'll post that in the room shortly.
Mm-hmm. And would it be possible for people to self-host SFUs or to self-host everything that is needed to scale a little this new feature?
Yes. So the plan is for anyone who has written a SFU to be able to use it for their own personal use, for rooms, for their home server. It doesn't have to be written with a single technology. You should be able to use the SFU that just meets this new protocol for SFU handling, and use whatever you want.
That's an interesting question that I didn't see earlier, which is, any plans to make a Matrix SDK for mainstream game engines like Unity or even Godot?
I don't know. I think like there's some, I think there is a Godot written Matrix client, a very lightweight one. So yeah, it would be really interesting. There are some people in our community who are experimenting with Godot. I've also seen some people talking about Unity, so it'd be great. I don't think that we're going to do the work ourselves personally just yet. We have a lot of work on our plate, but yeah, if you're interested, come and join, and we'll figure it out.
We have a question. You're going to need to help me with this one. It's, what sorts of CCU does this support? What is a CCU? Did I miss something?
Concurrent users. So It's going to be largely related to the SFU question. If we're just doing voice, it goes up a bit for full mesh even, but it's going to be structured in the same exact way as that. So it's really dependent on your topology, how many people you're subscribing to at a single point, but we think we can get it pretty high and change as you move around the world, like either via sharding or via like dynamic sort of subscription sort of thing.
All right. A question that is a bit random. Do bridges and metaverse make sense together?
I think so. I think they're one and of the same if we're thinking in the more broader definition of the metaverse. So yeah, I think so.
Right, so not everybody necessarily needs to speak Matrix to be part of the metaverse. Bridging remains possible?
Bridging absolutely is necessary in order for us to truly participate in the larger ecosystem.
All right, we have 10 seconds to conclude. So this room is going to open to people who want to ask questions about VoIP or metaverse, and you will be here to answer to their questions. See you, people.
Thanks, everyone.